Mastering the art of the elevator pitch. Do you almost dread being asked what you do? If you do, then there's a way to change that. The concept of an elevator pitch is as American as waffles and bacon. But the concept really does work, even for the British, whose reserved nature would otherwise have us avoid at all costs the concept of talking to a complete stranger in a closed, confined space. So the challenge is to master the art of communicating what you do in both 10 and 60 second formats so that you can give a wholesome answer to start with. At the same time, you'll be able to telegraph how you'd likely be able to offer real value to the other person and their company if there's a way that you might be able to help them. Mastering your own elevator pitch truly is a life skill, and it's one that you'll get a lot of use from. Hello, good afternoon. My name is James Rostance, and this is the 414 Live. For you as a professional B2B marketer, whether you work in-house at an awesome B2B company or you're doing great stuff at a B2B marketing agency. Equally, if you're a company executive with a hands-on role in your company's sales and marketing activities, this show is very much for you, because every single week I speak with some of the greatest and most interesting minds in B2B marketing so that you can directly expand and enhance your professional knowledge with every single episode. And today, we're diving into the world of developing your 10 and 60 second elevator pitch so that you've got it ready to move when you're asked that question, what do you do for a living? Well, to help with this and to let you develop your own 10 and 60 second elevator pitches, we're going to cross now live to where my guest is now in New Barnet in London. I almost forgot that. There we go. Live in New Barnet, London. Welcome, Carol Benton.
Good Hello, afternoon, James. Carol. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining. And yes, it's sunny where you are too. Sunny right across the UK right now. And I believe all Americans know that one of the things that we do love here is weather and anything meteorological reporting based.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're a standout expert in the field of helping people communicate what they do, and specifically elevator pitches. So I guess it would be a good place to start if I asked you, could you explain why you would need an elevator pitch and where precisely would you set about using it?
Okay, James. Yeah, look, good question. Why do you need an elevator pitch? You need an elevator pitch because opportunity is everywhere. You don't know where that opportunity lies. And unless you've got an elevator pitch and something to say when people ask you that question, what do you do? You might be missing out on that opportunity. It's as simple as that.
Right, good. I just wanted to make sure we definitely got that covered. And now, I've been using the term elevator pitch. Is that the preferred name for it? Or is there indeed an other description that you could use for it? Just to ask the question.
Yeah, look, I've always known it as an elevator pitch, but then I spent my corporate career working for an American company, so maybe it's for that reason. I did hear a UK colleague recently talk about a lift speech, which is a very British version of it. I've never personally used lift speech, but if lift speech works for you, that's fine. I've recently also spent 12 years living and working in Australia. They use the term elevator pitch. So I think introduction, a pitch, just simply a pitch, an elevator pitch, a lift speech, it doesn't really matter what you call it. What's important is what it is and what you say in it.
Yes, I must admit, lift speech doesn't work for me. I think that's...
No, me neither.
No. All right, good. All right, well, at least we know from here on in, definitely an elevator pitch is the order of the day. Okay, so what would you say are the key elements involved in an elevator pitch? And crucially, how do you know if you've got a good one?
Okay, I'll answer the second part of that question first, James. Okay. You know if you've got a good one because somebody wants to hear more. You know, if you've got a bad one, when their eyes glaze over and they make an excuse to go and get another drink or to go and shake hands with somebody over there or to fiddle around with their camera on Zoom, you know it's not good if they're not engaging. You know you've got a good pitch if you get the response, a response something like, that's interesting, tell me more, or, oh, I've never heard of that, or how do you do that? Some sort of response, because the whole purpose of an elevator pitch is not to close a deal, as I'm sure is obvious, but honestly, the way you hear some people pitch, you'd think it was to close the deal. The purpose of an elevator pitch is purely to get enough interest in those few seconds, whether it's the 10 or the 60, to get enough interest in those few seconds to garner a response that is the person wanting to engage and wanting to know more. So that's the second part of your question.
Yes.
Just remind me again of the very first part. Sorry, James.
What are the key elements involved in an elevator pitch?
Okay, so the key elements involved, although we're answering the question, what do you do? Actually, yes, it's important to tell somebody what you do, but the actual really crucial element is how you help, who you help, and the value you add. And I know that sounds a lot to do in a 10-second pitch in particular, but it can be done. It's all about the value you add and how you help.
I'm just writing this down. Okay, right. So who, who, how, and the value. There we go. Right.
Correct. So, yes.
It sounds like a challenge from a TV show. Right. Okay, in 10 seconds or less, you've got to communicate who, how, and the value you do.
Yes.
That's... Isn't that 30 words, basically, you've got to play with then for 10 seconds?
It's about that, which is why the elevator pitch is actually one of the hardest forms of communication. So in my business, I deal with all forms of communication, some of which are, you know, a couple of thousand words if we're talking, you know, ebooks and things. But the elevator pitch is actually the hardest to write, the hardest to get right, because every single word, when you've only got 60 seconds or you've only got 10 seconds, every single word has to play its part, add some value, be there for a reason, and you can't have any fluff or extraneous stuff going on.
Cool. It reminds me of writing radio commercials in that case.
It's exactly like writing radio commercials. It's exactly like writing a radio commercial.
But harder, because it's only a 10-second spot. Wow.
Yes, and harder because you're talking about yourself. And that's always, as anyone who's ever tried to write their own CV or their own LinkedIn profile notes, it's very hard to do, because when we work in a business or we have our own business or we work for a company, we know that business inside out. Now, when you're communicating with an audience, the really important thing is to be able to see things from the outside in. And therefore, you have to be able to sort of step outside. And that's why it is so hard to write about yourself. So, yes, you've got the format, the very short format. And there's the fact that, you know, unlike a radio ad, you're actually writing about yourself. So it is difficult. Yes.
I must admit, it wasn't before we spoke that I guess, not considered the concept of a 10-second pitch, certainly the 60 one. But ever since you said that, that makes total sense, because, thinking of the other person from the other person's point of view, someone asks, what do you do? And then, boom, they're committed to a 60-second barrage of what you do, regardless or not if it's remotely of interest to them.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do a 60-second pitch in response to that question. They both have different roles and you use them at different times.
Yes. Well, you say you wouldn't. Hang on. Did you say shouldn't or wouldn't? I think there's a difference in there.
Oh, sorry. I said wouldn't. I probably should have said shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I can well imagine that some people would go straight with it. Well, for everyone watching it and listening, we are going to get to that. We are going to go step by step on how to do all of this and create your own, because, hey, that's the promise of the show today. But to set the scene a bit more, could you explain maybe where do people go wrong when it comes to creating their own elevator pitch?
Two main things, I think, James. The first is they try and tell you too much, because, you know, we know, I don't know, if you imagine buckets full of information, we've got 100 buckets full of information about our business. Mm-hmm. Now, an elevator pitch needs one bucket. And the hardest thing is working out which bits of information to leave out. So that's what the first place where people go wrong is they try and put too much in and they think, especially if it's in a situation where perhaps they know they've got a minute to introduce themselves and they think, I've got a minute. So they speed up because they try and want to get more into that minute because they think more is better. And that means that, you know, because this is verbal communication, this is a purely verbal form of communication, you've got to remember that when you're doing an elevator pitch, your audience has no other clues. There's no slide deck. There's no written words. The only information they have is what comes out of your mouth. So if you speed up thinking I'll get more in, you're actually doing yourself a disservice because they can't understand what you're saying. They lose interest and it just sounds rushed and messy. So that's the first mistake is people try and get too much in. And the second mistake is people confuse an elevator pitch with selling. They think they've got to tell you all about every detail of their product, how good they are, the fact that they're an award-winning XYZ. It becomes a boasting session or a real hard sell session. And an elevator pitch is certainly not that. So those are the two main mistakes.
Nice. I'm glad you touched on that, actually, because I was mindful that elevator pitches aren't just for salesmen and women who are at the front line of sales. Potentially everyone in the business should indeed have their own elevator pitch, but tailored to who they are and what they do. Because, of course, all staff in a company, as we've covered on the show before now, are ultimately involved and able to help drive forward and make sales. And armed with your secret weapon of the elevator pitch, this would empower them to do that. So, nice. I'm glad we covered that. Thank you. What is it that triggered you personally to get involved in this and the art of this pitching
content? I spent 30 years working for a large corporate IT company. And in that time, I saw some great examples of business communication, not just elevator pitches, but all forms of business communication. And unfortunately, I also saw even more examples of very, very poor communication, even from really senior and smart and knowledgeable people. And so when I left that company after 30 years, that was 6 years ago, I decided that there was really a need for this in the market. I particularly specialize in technology companies who, A, because that's what I know, and B, because they do really need this. And I set up my business specifically to help people with business communication of all formats, and that includes the elevator pitch. And I found there was a real need for people to have some help with creating elevator pitches. There's just so much demand.
Yeah, I must admit, I've not come across anyone else that's been doing this. So that was a good one to get you on. All right, well, let's talk then about how to actually do it and how to put your own together. But what would you say are some of the key considerations to have then when it comes to setting down to create your elevator pitch?
I think there's three things you really need. The first is a structure, the second is preparation, and the third is practice. So you know these people who they speak and it looks like they're speaking off the cuff, and there are people who say, I never practice a pitch or a presentation, I'm better off the cuff. Let me tell you, nobody is better off the cuff. So the practice or the preparation and the practice are really, really important. So the person who looks like they're just easily speaking and they're saying the first thing that comes into their head, they have practiced that. And it's really, really important with an elevator pitch, because if somebody asks you what you do, you don't have the time to say, right, excuse me, let me just get my slide deck out. And, you know, you haven't got any other... You've got to go straight into that pitch as if it was the most natural thing in the world. And it has to be the most natural thing in the world. And something only becomes or looks like it's the most natural thing in the world when you've practiced it a lot. So that's the practice. The other two, structure, preparation. I believe that for every form of business communication, there's a structure. Nobody likes sitting down with a blank piece of paper. And therefore, if you've got a structure to hang those words on, it really helps. And I've got a structure I use and that I coach people in. But look, and I'm not saying it's the only structure. I'm not saying it's the best structure. It's a structure and it works, and it's better than just sitting down with a blank piece of paper. So that's the structure. Then the preparation is write it down. Write it down, say it out loud multiple times, time yourself, tweak it. Take out the words that are superfluous. Take out the words that don't sound right when you say it out loud. So structure, preparation, practice.
And yes, and this is very much why you need a formula. Would you call it a formula? What you're about to share?
I'd call it a structure or a formula. Yes. So So my structure is that I like to. So there's three parts. This is with a one minute elevator pitch. There's three parts, and the first part actually is. A subset of the first part is the 10-second pitch. So let's look at the structure for the 60-second pitch. The 60-second pitch, I think it's a very good idea to start with what I call a relatable statement or a positioning statement. So instead of going straight in, like a lot of people do, and saying, my name is James Rostance, I'm blah, blah, blah. My name is Carol Benton, I'm blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. However, if you want to sound really professional and really grab your audience's attention, it's a great idea to start with what I call a relatable statement. So that is a statement about the problem that you solve. It can be a question. It could be a statistic. It could be, if you're bold enough, and you could be a joke. But it's usually a statistic or a statement or a question. So, for example, one of the versions of my elevator pitch, I start with a question and I say to my audience, who here is good at what they do? And I stick my hand up and wait for them to all stick their hands up too. And then I say, yeah, a lot of us are really great at what we do, but do you find that sometimes you struggle to find the right words to communicate that when you're talking to customers? So that's what I mean by a relatable statement. It's one or two sentences at the most that just puts into context the problem you're going to be talking about. And it gets your audience interested, because if they relate, hence the name, the relatable statement, if they relate to that statement, then you've already captured their interest. The next part of the structure is what I call the name, same, what's my game? And I completely plagiarized that name, I admit. That's where you say your name. And you say the same is your category. So people, it's a shorthand. It carries a bigger message. So if you say, I'm a videographer, I'm a communication consultant, I'm an accountant, I'm a this, I'm a that, it instantly helps people understand what it is you're going to be talking about. So you say, my name is, and then your category. Then the next bit is the really important bit, because that's the what's my game. That's who you. That's the bit we talked about as the 10-second pitch. That's the who you help, how you help them, and what the outcome is or what the value is. So, again, to use mine as an example, I would say my name is Carol Benton. My business is called Words to Win, and I help technology companies to win more business by really clearly articulating the value they deliver. So, like you said, it's only a few words, but there you've got who I help, technology companies, how I help them by clearly articulating the value of what they deliver, what's the outcome, they win more business. So that's the second part of the elevator pitch.
Okay.
Now, just one quick word on that, if we're wanting this to be a bit of a tutorial for people watching.
Absolutely.
Just one really quick word on that as well. Name, your name and the name of your business. It's very easy to rush over our own name. We say our name so frequently, I don't know how many times a day, but, you know, we say our name very, very frequently. We say the name of our business. You don't have to put the name of your business in the elevator pitch, by the way, but if you choose to. It's very easy to rush over your name. We're so, so used to it. So it's really worth pausing when you say your name and the name of your business so that people hear it, especially if you've got a slightly unusual name or a longer name. It's really worth pausing. The other thing is, when you skim over something, it gives the audience the message that it's not important. So if I say, my name's Carol Benton, my business is Words to Win, that it says to my audience, well, she doesn't think she's very important or the name of her business is very important. Whereas if I say, or, you know, let's use yours, for example, if you said, I'm James Rostance, my podcast is The 4 on 4. Whereas if you say, my name is James Rostance, I have a podcast called The 4 on 4. It just carries so much more weight and it says to your audience, this is important. So that's the first two parts, is the relatable statement and then the name, same, what's my game. So that's that's the first section, if you like. Mm-hmm. Sorry, James. Yep. Sorry.
You're back again.
Yes, I'm back. Sorry. The second part is that the middle part is the expansion. So what you're going to do in this middle part is you expand on the problem, the solution, the outcome. So you've summarized it in that very first bit, you know, what do you do and who do you help and how do you help them? And then you've got time to expand on it. So you expand on exactly what the problem is for your target audience. You expand on what your offer is and you expand on what the outcome is. Depending on how long that takes, you could also tell a customer story or you could even tell a customer story as the way of expanding on the problem, solution, outcome. So you could say, for example, you know, recently I helped James. James was struggling with his elevator pitch, blah, blah, blah. I did this. The outcome was. So that's the middle section of your 1 minute pitch. The final bit, if it's a formal 1 minute pitch, is a sort of a wrap up, a sort of a call to action, if you like. If you can, it's really good to tie it back to the beginning. So if you've asked a question in the beginning, tie your wrap up back to that question you asked in the beginning. But that's where you sort of say, look, if you know, it might be if you or someone you know would like to communicate better, you know, and have a really clear elevator pitch, please talk to me and I'll help you find your words to win. Or, you know, you wrap it up by bringing it back to the beginning. So that's very, very, very quickly the structure for the 60-second pitch.
Perfect. Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, there's a lot to take in there, I know, but I've tried to go through that as clearly as I can, as quickly as I could.
It is. In fact, just a second, I'd like to ask you just to recap those in sort of bullet point fashion. Could we just revisit number three again? So three was expansion. What were the elements of the expansion? Just one more time.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the problem, the solution, and the outcome.
Okay.
So it's what is the problem that your customer has or that your audience has? And remember, your audience may not be the person you're giving the pitch to. So this is a really important – actually, I probably should have covered this when you said, why do you need a pitch? Now, you know, there are two sort of scenarios where you need the 60-second pitch and the 10-second pitch. The 60-second pitch is usually used in formal meetings. So things like a networking meeting where everybody's given 60 seconds to introduce themselves, or a company meeting, or even sometimes, you know, at a round table event, something like that, where you're given 60 seconds and you know you're going to have the floor for 60 seconds. So you've got that time. The 10-second pitch is the one that you use when somebody says, what do you do? And that could be in a much less formal situation, a social situation. In fact, I'll tell you a true story in a minute about where I used my 10-second pitch with great effect. But remember that the audience, you're not trying to sell to them. The audience is not necessarily people who are going to be your customers. The audience wants to understand what you do so that, you know, they may well know someone who needs what you do, or at a later date may come across someone. So it's more about them understanding what you do so that they can, so they can understand, but B, so that you're expanding your reach, as it were. And just like you said, that's why everybody in a company needs to have a version of an elevator pitch, because it's not just used in formal sales. In fact, it's not a sales tool at all. It's an awareness tool and an opportunity opening tool.
Yes. And it's good that we've touched on this point again, because strictly speaking, I think this is a marketing function because, and well, as we regularly do on the show, I'm always covering the alignment of sales and marketing because that's what the best B2B companies do, is closely align the two. But whilst sales are out on location or doing virtual, you know, sales meetings, this, for my liking, is a marketing function. So this is why, again, I wanted you on the show, because marketing can then get everyone in the company potentially to have their own elevator pitch tweaked for them, so that when this situation comes up, they can say what they do. Because was there a particular way of describing making the most of an opportunity when it comes up? It was to do with the fact when you said you're not necessarily pitching when you use this strategy, but it has a reason. Was there a specific description that you like to use for that, or am I just kind of making that up somehow?
Well, my point was that you're not selling. You're simply. Your marketing, in the same way as you say, you compared it to a radio ad, let's say. You're marketing in that same way. You're spreading awareness of what you do or what your company does. And it's a really good point about everyone in the company. I mean, I've worked with companies where they've actually put the whole company through training to learn the elevator pitch, to learn the company elevator pitch. And then, of course, they adapt it to their own. But, you know, even the person, the person in accounts payable, still, you know, they're not out meeting customers, but they are talking to people all day, every day, and they need to be able to talk about their company in a positive way. And we can't necessarily expect them to be able to do that without some help and some training and without us giving them the tools to do that. So that's what I meant really when I said it's not about selling, it's about opportunity.
That was the one, actually. It's when the opportunity comes up.
Yes. And right. Look, perhaps I could tell you my story, which is an absolutely true story about why a 10-second elevator pitch is so important. But I was actually meeting a surgeon who was going to operate on my sinuses. So, you know, this wasn't a business meeting by any stretch of the imagination. And I went in to meet him, and he said, "What do you do?" And I thought he was just being polite, you know, he's making small talk. And luckily for me, I had my elevator pitch ready and I had it ready to roll off the tongue without even thinking about it. I said, "Oh, I'm a communication consultant. I help technology companies to win more business by clearly articulating the value of what they do." Didn't think any more of it until the next thing he said blew me away, because he said, "That's really interesting." He said, "I'm an investor in a technology company. We need exactly that kind of help." And 1 week later, I had a meeting. 2 weeks later, I had a new client. Now, I never thought for one second when I walked into that doctor's consulting rooms that I would be pitching, you know, doing my 1 minute pitch, and I would be, it was about 7 seconds, I think, but I didn't even think about it. But because it was so embedded in my brain, I didn't even have to think about what I said. It's like when someone says, "What's your name?" You don't have to think about the answer. I just came out with that answer. And there it was, an opportunity that really led to business. Now, I could have been at a barbecue. I could have been in any situation where somebody says, "What do you do?" That's why it's so important.
Love that. Right.
It's a good story, isn't it?
It's a beautiful one. And you know what? I'm a big fan of anyone that practices what they preach, quite literally. Yes. And that's what all that came from. All right. So we've just, as a recap here for everyone watching, and I think that we've just covered how to set about creating your 60-second pitch and the four main elements involved in the process. So, Carol, could you please quickly recap the four different stages to the formula or structure for creating your 60-second elevator pitch?
Yes, of course. So the very first part is the relatable statement, James. Yeah. So that's where you ask a question or you make a statement or you give a statistic to illustrate the problem that you solve. Because if people don't believe there's a problem, they are not going to believe in the answer or believe there's a need for the answer. So that's the first thing, is the relatable statement. The second piece is name, same, what's my game? So that's your name, maybe the name of your business. It's your category. So that's a shorthand. So they very quickly know roughly what you do. And then the what's my game is that all important. Who do you help? How do you help them? And what is the outcome? What is the value you bring? That's the second part. The third part, and those two together form the sort of introduction or the first piece. The middle part of your pitch is the expansion. And that is where you expand on the problem, the solution, the outcome. You can do that with a customer story, or you can include a customer story at the end of that, or you can use a customer story to do that expansion. And then the final bit is the call to action. The what do you want people to do? It's just reminding them of the problem. So, you know, if you have this problem, or if you know someone who has this problem, I can help them fix this problem. So, you know, it's actually quite repetitive in some ways. You're repeating the problem, you're repeating the solution. So that final bit, that call to action, is repeat the problem and how, if people come to you, you can help them solve that problem.
Boom. Perfect. Wow. That was really good. I'm just going to let this all settle in for a second because I guess the next thing we need to talk about is then how to do the 10-second version this. And as you're just recapping the various elements there, I was sort of thinking at the same time, all right, how are we going to do this just for the 10-second one? So, well, look, with that said, how do you then create your 10-second elevator pitch? What are the elements of that?
Okay, so where we said that in the 60-second one, we have this bit that is name, same, what's my game. Really, the what's my game bit, the same and the what's my game, those become your 10-second pitch. You probably, when somebody says what do you do, you probably don't repeat your name. It depends. Look, you can have a 10-second pitch with where you say your name. It might be appropriate. But if you're in a social situation, somebody says, what do you do? You're going to say your category. And then you're going to do the same as in the 60-second pitch. Who do you help? How do you help them? What's the outcome? So I would say, I'm a business communication consultant, category. I help technology companies. That's who. To win more business, that's the outcome, by clearly communicating the value of what they do. So I do it in a slightly different order. I do who, outcome, and how, the what do I do. I could change that order. So it's really, it sounds very, very simple, but it's harder than it sounds, because actually it took me, for example, a long time to get to that because what your audience doesn't hear is all the things that you've considered and then left out. But when it comes down to it, it really is as simple as those things. It's maybe your name, it's your category, and it's who you help, how you help them, and what is the outcome.
Right, there we go. All right, more scribbling on my part here on the table. So.
Yeah. It sounds very, very simple when you say it like that. It can be quite a bit of work to get it done, but it's really, really worth it.
Oh, for sure. In the back of my mind, whilst you were explaining about how people who seem like they're ad-libbing or that it's off the cuff invariably haven't, and there's been a lot of work involved in going to having it being able to come on cue and be very smooth at the same time. And what it reminds me of is, well, the way that comedians work, in that they put a ton of work into developing their sets and their pieces. And when they're on stage, then they just fire them off based on, you know, different interactions from the audience. But they've actually worked on those pieces very hard to start with. And this indeed is what you're doing in creating the elevator pitches.
Yeah, no. Look, I've got a good friend who's a comedian, and I've seen firsthand the amount of work and literally, comedy is a really good example. You pick James, basically in comedy, every single word plays a role and has a weight, and quite often with a sort of a punchline or with a story, it wouldn't be the same if even just one or two words were different. So, yeah, absolutely right. And you're absolutely right. Those little one-liners they throw out when the audience heckles, those are really well rehearsed. You know how we always think, you know when somebody says something and you always think afterwards, oh, geez, I wish I could have thought of that answer. You know, they have thought of it beforehand. They look like they're just doing it off the cuff, but of course they've thought of it all beforehand because there's only so many different heckles the audience throws at them, and they've thought about it beforehand. So, yeah, it's the same sort of thing. Absolutely right.
Yes, I must admit, when I first got into, I'm not a comedian myself. I used to work in comedy as a technician, and it always used to impress the heck out of me when you'd see the comedians just mauling hecklers, and that's why I would never heckle, because I know that they're going up against an undefeatable enemy. You're never
absolutely
win.
no.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Right, so we've done the 60-second and the 10-second pitch, and we've got nicely laid out the formula involved for creating that. But there's still work to be done, even when you've gone through that. And as you say, yeah, it's all about the development of that. What would probably help is, could you share some of your favorite examples, or even maybe your number one favorite example of an elevator pitch, very well refined and one that impresses you?
I've seen a lot of elevator pitches. I've seen a lot of very bad ones, and I've seen people improve dramatically as well. And probably my favourite one, I can't remember the whole 1 minute pitch, but it was a guy that I knew when I lived in Australia. He was a videographer, and he had a pretty average to poor pitch, and we did some coaching, and he came on a workshop that I ran, and he really picked up on the ideas, and he came up with this great opening line that I really liked, and it was, if a picture paints 1,000 words, then video paints 100,000 frames a second, or whatever the number was, but it was just a really good attention grabber, I thought, and it just sort of, it was funny, and it made a really good point that, you know, video is better than a still, better than a picture. But it was a really good, that was his relatable statement. That's one of my favorites. I really like.
Nice. I must admit, I do think your elevator pitch is absolutely spot on. Although, to be fair, you can't really say, well, I actually really like mine as a favourite example. So I'll say that for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yours does hit the mark. But once again, you've got to practice what you preach. So there's a lot to be said. Yeah. A lot to be said for that.
And another one, I just thought of another one, actually, that I like, which was somebody who runs a networking business, and he starts off with a statistic. So he says, did you know 83% of people trust referrals? And then he goes on to talk about why referral networking is fantastic and blah, blah, blah. But again, that statistic really captures people's attention, and a statistic is a very good way to do it. The other thing I would say is I have several versions of my elevator pitch, because sometimes, just for yourself, you want to you just want to change it up a little bit. The one thing I would say is the 10-second pitch never changes, because you have to know that, and say it has to be ready to go off the top of your head, no matter what. You know, if somebody could walk into the room now and say to me, what do? You've got to have that ready to go. But the 1 minute pitch, there is scope to change it up a little bit. And coming back to the question you asked me right at the very beginning, how do you know when you've got a good one? One of the ways is to test it out. So, for example, you might keep some things the same but change the relatable statement, because the relatable statement will really get people's attention or not. So I would recommend that you try a few things, and when you deliver it, watch the audience's face. You can tell a lot by looking at your audience. Even if it's on Zoom, you can tell an awful lot by looking at your audience. You can tell whether they're engaging, if they're smiling, if they're nodding. So one of the ways to know if you've got a good one is, as I say, watch. But do try tweaking it and trying slight variations on it.
Mm-hmm. I can appreciate how that process is going to be harder for some and easier for others. I think I would fall in the category of finding it harder, because I'm a terrible one for trying to get it perfect before putting it out, which I know you're not supposed to do that. And I keep telling myself 80% is good enough with a lot of things. But when you are one of these people that, refines and refines and refines and doesn't want to share it until you think it's just right, this is going to be a bit of a mission. But you just, would you be...
Well, that's fine. That's fine, though. That's fine. If you have just one version, do you know what? That's absolutely fine. And yeah, it is one of those ones where it really is worth learning it. Because if you are in meetings where you are given a chance to introduce yourself, it's really good to have it ready to go. And it's only 1 minute, even the longer version, it's only 1 minute. You can learn a one-minute pitch. It might not be absolutely word for word that you learn it, but you can basically learn certainly that opening, the 10-second elevator pitch, to say you definitely need to learn that. And the rest of it you can pretty much learn. So for somebody like you, James, who works in that way, that's absolutely fine, because you know you can learn it so that it is – the better you've learned it, the more natural and off the cuff it sounds. You know what it's like if you're reading a script. Yes. If I was reading to you now from an auto cue, if I was reading to you, it would sound really stilted because I'm answering naturally. It sounds natural. So the trick with the pitch is learn it and then deliver it so that it sounds natural.
I'm with you. Yep. I like that, and I can relate to that as well. In fact, I do that at the beginning of the show each week with the intro. That used to be off the teleprompter, but now I do it from memory. And you're right, it does sound a bit more authentic, actually. So good.
Yeah. All right. And that's a pitch. You know, that is a pitch. It's a pitch for your show.
Yes.
But that is a pitch. You write it, you rehearse it, you practice it. It's got to be a certain length. You learn it and you deliver it. It's a pitch.
Yes, as best I can, because I still do fluff words. But hey, working on that one too. Right, well... I guess one more solid question with regard to the development of the elevator pitches. What would be key mistakes to avoid when you're creating and drafting your elevator pitch?
I think trying to put too much in and not rehearsing it for time as well. So when you write it down, read it out loud. Read it out loud, because it's really, really important. You when you read something in your head, you read a lot faster. So it's really important that you read it out loud. And a really good tip is, if it sounds in your head like you're reading at about the speed that you talk to an absolute imbecile, you're probably going at about the right pace. If you think you're going a bit too slow, you're probably about right.
That's really nice. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
No. Sorry. No, I had a slight technical glitch here. It's all right. If you think you sound slow, you're probably about right. Now there is a case, however, and this is once you get a bit more sophisticated with your pitch, in any pitch, whether it's a 1 minute, 10 minute, an hour's presentation, there is certainly a place for speeding up and slowing down. So when you are saying your name, the name of your company, or the really important bit about who you help and how you help them, you slow down. If you're talking about something where you're really enthusiastic and you're really passionate, there's absolutely a place for speeding up a bit, raising the volume a bit. That's when you get into more sophisticated sort of tweaking of the delivery. But generally, when you are rehearsing it, read it out loud, because you will not get the timing right unless you do.
With you. Great tip. Thank you for including that. All right. Well, that's pretty much covered the whole subject of developing your elevator pitch. So, with one more then, what would you like the audience to have as a core takeaway for the whole process of creating and then delivering your elevator pitch?
I think the core takeaway is, don't underestimate how important it is and that it really is worth spending some time on. It really is. Think about who you help, how you help them and the value you add. Keep coming back to that value. It's not just what you do, it's the value you add. But it really is worth spending some time getting it right and making sure you are communicating your value.
Nicely done. Carol Benton, live from New Barnet in London. This has been a powerful 47 minutes of the show today. Thank you so much for this. How could people get in contact with you, or what would you advise people to do if they're interested in this further and indeed what you do?
Okay, thank you. Yes, they can contact me through my website, which is www.wordstowin. So that's words, the number two, win.co.uk. They can find me on LinkedIn. So, or they can email me at carolbenton@wordstowin.co.uk. So, yep, I'd love to hear from anyone who'd like to discuss it further.
There we go. And you're on LinkedIn, of course, as well. So connect to me now. Yes. All right. Yes. Okay, there we go. All right. Well, Carol Benton, live from New Barnet, London. Thank you ever so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, James. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure. And hopefully you've got a ton of value from that today. Thank you very much for watching. If you haven't already, then www.the414.net is where you can sign up for weekly emails and updates for the show. And it's also where you can check out all previous episodes. Today, I think it's been number 82, getting closer to that 100 number. But yes, number 82 today. If you go to www.414.net, that's where you can sign up by email for weekly updates. And also, of course, there's the LinkedIn page for the 414. So if you jump on there and follow the 414, you'll now start getting a selection of weekly videos and shortcuts from the show. All right. Well, the 414 is for you as a professional B2B marketer, or indeed if you're a company executive with your hands-on role, and it's so that you can directly expand and enhance your professional knowledge with every single episode, because I get to speak with some of the greatest and most interesting minds in B2B marketing every single week so that we can deliver just that for you. Alrighty. Well, my name's James Rostance, and I'll see you here same time next week.